Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Time for us to get into our Ask a Pastor segment, and we do have Pastor ABC joining us to give us some perspective. Pastor Ayes Ahijia B. Kabasa joins us on the line. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much once again for agreeing to talk to us this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the warm welcome.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Our question for today is based on Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. So I'm going to read the part where we are supposed to be chewing on and then ask the question. The part that we're reading in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17 reads, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Now here's the question, Pastor. Does God kill the sinner, or does sin kill the sinner? Is death God's punishment for sin, or is it the natural consequence of sin?
Wow. That's a heavy question, and I would say both.
All right, Pastor, it seems as though our line is disconnected for some reason. So just...
How about now?
Nah, much better. Much better.
Perfect. Wonderful, wonderful. I would say that both statements can be true depending on the context. So death in the Bible is presented as a result of sin. It was not God's primary plan for humanity to experience death. And through sin, death comes in. And it comes in different ways. For example, we have several passages in the Bible that clearly indicate that God killed people. You have that in the Old Testament. You have that in the New Testament. And probably one of the most famous ones is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. The narrative clearly indicates that God killed them for lying to the Holy Spirit. Mm. Now, we also have passages where we can actually see that because we sinned, we tarnish our human nature, and our human nature now begins to decay. And even if you live healthy, you will live long, but you will still die. We die through natural means, old age. We can die through eating or drinking things that are poisonous. We can die through accidents. We can die if someone with a bad intention overpowers us and takes our life by force. And so I would say that all of these statements, us dying naturally, us dying through the hands of God, they can happen. God has killed many evil people who refused to repent and change their ways in order to preserve life, in order to maintain justice, in order to maintain order. He, at times, has had to give the death penalty.
Okay. So that's the first question the person is asking. The second one is, is death God's punishment for sin?
Ooh, wow, that's a hard question, my brother. I think I might need your help on this one. is death God's punishment? Well, I would say in certain context, because we see certain contexts where death is something God uses to relieve certain people from the suffering in this world. There are people that God allows them to die because their time on earth has ended. And there are people, for example, okay, let me give an example of Daniel. When Daniel died, he seemed like he still had some days in him, but God told him, you need to rest now, and you will be resurrected later, and you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. When Moses died, he could have continued to live. God took him up on the mountain and told him, brother, you are dying here. And he died there. And the Bible says he buried him over there, implying that God buried him. This is in the biblical text. If you look in Other sources, they say the angels buried him. But we see that death sometimes in the Bible, at certain contexts, it's not like a punishment. It's sort of like you've come to the end rest or a relief from suffering. But there are other instances where it is a judgment from God. That's what I would say, my brother.
So when tracing the origins of death, we don't see death happening even in the thickest of wars in heaven. When we are told of the war that broke out in heaven, there is no death recorded in heaven. The only time we see the first record of death is when God pronounces it before sin even occurs. And that's where perhaps it would be interesting to learn your theological interpretation of God being the first person who's going to introduce the possibility and the inevitability of death as a result of disobedience. And at the time when he spoke and issued that declaration that you shall surely die, there had not been sin at the time. There had not been disobedience by Eve and ultimately her husband Adam. And I believe perhaps there is something to be said there that you as theologians can clarify. When God was creating the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then creating a resultant consequence of death when that tree has been violated or taken, what was the idea there? What was the plan there? What was the thinking behind God creating the cause and the effect? Cause being disobeying the instruction from eating for eating the tree, and the effect dying. What was happening there? Because before, in spite of the fact that there had been disobedience in heaven, death did not result. The angels were not killed by God, even though they had disobeyed him and they caused havoc, and a third was exiled to earth or to the belly of the earth, if you listen to some other theologians. So help us understand what was God's plan there, because when he spoke of death, there was not sin at the time.
Well, yeah, those are a lot of things to respond to. I think I'll take a bit longer, but there are biblical answers. We cannot get into the mind of God, but we have answers for those things, looking at the biblical narrative. So I wouldn't actually call it a cause and effect, because God didn't create death when he said that if you disobey, you will die. That's not creating death. God was just stating a fact. You see, death is the opposite of life. And so God saying that if you disobey, you will die, he was not even creating a cause and effect. He was just declaring a fact that I have created life and I have set an order in the world in order to preserve life and to maintain everything. And if you break that order, there will be consequences. So he's not creating it. He's just stating the obvious. He's stating a fact. If you disobey, bad things are going to happen because I set an order in place and you are going to break that order. You are going to disrupt that order. And obviously there are going to be consequences. And, you know, when we look at this, the narrative in heaven, the disobedience of the angels, the reason why God did not kill them in heaven was because of the context of what was going on. When we look at Isaiah 14, 9 to 12, and when we look at Ezekiel 28, 11 to the end of the chapter, we see that in heaven there were several accusations placed towards God, and it was not the right context to punish through death. If someone is accusing me of being violent and being unjust, and I attack the person, I will prove to people who don't know who I truly am, they will conclude that I am unjust and violent. So God didn't kill those angels in heaven because the other angels who were undecided, they would not understand that God was truly good. So God had to let those accusations go on. He had to let the angels live, expel them from heaven, let them live, and through time, it would be clear, it would be evident that he is a just God. If he would have killed them right away, if he would have sentenced them to death, then the other angels would say, okay, Lucifer is right. He is really an angry God. He is an unjust God because someone just complained and he eliminated him right away. So God had very intelligent and God-like intelligence not to introduce death, or not to kill them, better yet, not to introduce, but not to kill them when they rebelled against him in heaven.
Come with me, Pastor, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 39. Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 39. An interesting declaration there. First person spoken there, written allegedly by Moses. Moses captures the words of God in this fashion. See now that I myself am he. There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wandered and wounded rather, and I will heal. And no one can deliver out of my hand. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. See now that I myself am he. There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded.
Wrong with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. He says, I am God. That means he's the supreme judge. He can, and remember, consistently through Genesis to Revelation, he's not any type of God. He's a God who only creates good things, according to Genesis 1. And according to Genesis 3, when people disobey him, he tries to find a way to redeem them. The people who sinned at first and had now qualified to test death, he brought up a plan that involved him dying on the cross in order to save them from eternal death. So when he says, I am God, and I put to death, we know that he puts to death those who refuse to be reconciled, those who refuse to be transformed. And by the way, he can put people to death because he has the power to. Not only that, he is the just judge. And so he can condemn people to death, but he only condemns people who deserve death. And he doesn't do that until he has done all he can to redeem people from death. So if he condemns someone from death to death, it's people who have chosen to die rather than to change. And so this passage, we have to interpret it in light of what the Bible reveals about God. We cannot take this text and isolate it from the character of God and his encounters with those that have sinned.
So the question we were trying or grappling with, Mpundisi, is death God's punishment for sin? If I'm hearing you well, you're saying God punishes by death those who refuse to obey, correct?
And in different contexts of the Bible, you will articulate this in different ways. But that's it. When God is killing, he is executing his judgment upon someone who is deserving of death.
Right, right. So yes. God is the one who originated death.
No, he's not the one who originated death.
Who came up with the concept of death? It seems as though there are other creators now who have the power that God is going to usurp and use that power of killing. So who came up with the concept of death if it is not God?
No, actually, that's a wrong question. The question is geared towards trying to put the blame on God. The question shouldn't be who introduced death. If God introduced death, why is the whole message of Revelation and towards the end of the one who is, even Paul in the letters of Paul, but in many cases, where he is the one who kills death, and death is the last enemy, not the last friend, because death is an enemy of God. He didn't introduce death. Death was introduced by human beings, the first human beings, Adam and Eve, through disobedience. You see, death is the opposite of life. God created life. He didn't create death. Death came because human beings disrupted the order of life he had created. So death is a ramification. It's a consequence. It's not something God created. If anyone should receive credit for the existence of death, it should be human beings. And in this case, our first parents, Adam and Eve, but not God. Death in the Bible is the enemy of God. And God has prepared a plan, a marvelous plan, to eliminate death forever.
But John chapter 1 says nothing on earth was without the Word. It's the Word that brought everything on earth to be.
Yes, but in Genesis chapter 1, where you find the narrative where he creates through the Word,
right?
In nowhere do you find let there be death. Nowhere in the Bible is death ascribed to God as the one who brought death into existence. You see, this very idea of God trying to bringing death into existence, it is in complete contradiction with Scripture and with the character of God.
That's what I'm asking you, Pastor, about first John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 3 says, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made.
Yeah, you need to understand that in light of Scripture and in light of creation. That verse is not literal in the sense that every single thing, obviously. Why? Because in the world you have suffering. God didn't make suffering. Suffering comes through sin. And who introduces sin? It was Lucifer. It was Lucifer. So when it says, when you read that all things, it isn't always literal. It's what you call totality. For example, you find in Scripture, the very first time we find it in Scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, going down, it says that God blessed human beings and he gave them authority over the fowls of the air, the fish in the sea, the animals on the land. That's totality. You can just say he gave them authority over the whole earth. But he goes on to say over the fowls of the air, the fish in the sea, the animals in the bird. You can just say the whole earth. But he's going into specificity and to express totality, but it's not literal that God created everything. He created everything that is good. He didn't create everything that is bad, or he didn't create everything, including the bad. He created everything that is good and not bad. And you just have to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. It says, and behold, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So the creator of the Bible is presented as someone who only creates good things, not bad things. And so when the Bible says everything came through him, or that he created everything, it's referring to everything good and nothing bad.
Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7 says, I create the light and make the darkness. Mm-hmm. I send good times and bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things. That's the New Living Translation.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through all these, different versions will give you different work. The King James Version says, I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So according to Isaiah, God does create bad as well.
No, I can I've studied those verses in the Hebrew, in its original language. And this is actually a solved issue. This is not a problem at all. For example, the terminology that is used, amal, for that is rendered as evil, it is also rendered as calamity. It can be rendered in several terminologies. And it was selected wrong in this text. Why was it selected wrong? You see, whenever you do translation, you have to ask yourself several questions. Number one, the verb being presented, who does it refer to? It refers to God. Who is God? God is the creator, and God is love. God, by principle, he's love, he's good, he's not evil. God doesn't do evil things. Okay, then let's now look at the verb that is describing the action of this subject. That terminology can be used for several things. One of them is calamity. Now, when God destroyed the world with a flood, he brought a calamity to the world. He was the one who did that. But why did he do that? Do we consider that act as evil? No. Why don't we consider it as evil? Because God was justly condemning people who had deviated from his principles and were ruining the world. As a just judge, he was acting right. So we cannot consider that as evil. When he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, do we call that evil? We call it a calamity. He brought a calamity on them. And that's the exact Hebrew terminology used in these verses you've shared, saying that God creates evil. You can actually render it as God creates calamity. Now, the question is this. Is there a good reason to create a calamity? Oh, yeah, we found one with the flood. We found another with Sodom and Gomorrah, and there are several others. And so it is those type of things that God says, I do this and I do that. And when God says, I create darkness, come on, darkness is the opposite of light. Darkness reigns when light is absent. And so darkness is always there. It's the absence of light. What you have over here is poetic language. The author is simply trying to convey that God is supreme and sovereign. That's all the author is trying to do. And so he's using words in a poetic sense. He creates light and he creates darkness. We all know that Genesis 1, when it says God stepped on the scene and it was darkness all over the place, tohu vabohu, emptiness and darkness. And then he said, let there be light, and there was light. So darkness is not associated with God. It's just a poetic language to ascribe supremacy to God, but not saying that he actually does evil. And this text is really not a problem. It's just a matter of semantics and intertextuality. It's not an issue at all.
All right, Pastor, thank you very much for your time and your insights. Looking forward to our conversation tomorrow. Have a wonderful day today.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Have a good day to you too.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Appreciate it, Pastor Ayes Kabasa, talking to us, giving us our Ask a Pastor answer for today. Until tomorrow.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.